Thank you very much indeed, sir. It is a joy to be with you. I just made it. According to modern technology, it was 1 hour and 50 minutes. And I have to behave myself when I'm driving, because last week I had to go to one of these four-hour courses because they nabbed me for speeding. 39 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone. And I didn't want penalty points. So they got their arm in and charged me 89 quid. That's over half a state pension, you know. And it was a good experience, because it lets you see that you're not the only stupid driver in the country. And there are plenty of others as well. But we just made it. I left Castledurg. It's 93 miles from the Castledurg church to this church all across the province. And I'm doing something as well that I don't normally do. I'm wearing one of these microphones. I normally take off my jacket when I'm preaching. I can't do that tonight, because at dinner time I spilled some broccoli juice down my shirt and we just get it sort of half cleaned, and we didn't. So, and that's why I'm keeping my jacket on. Somebody said to me, "You just button your jacket." I said I would do that if it was possible, but it's not. But I'm very grateful for the opportunity to come tonight to hear and preach the word. The Free Church have a, and all the ministers are the same, and Mr. Dane was thinking about this meeting tonight. He did this as well. The idea is, you see, that what they say is, well, we're going to get a preacher for this special meeting, so we're going to get the best preacher in the Free Church. And they rang him, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't make it, I can't come that night." "Well, what we'll do is we'll get the best theologian." And they tried that, and that didn't work either. "Well," they said, "we better get the best looking preacher we can get in the Free Church." And that didn't work. And then they phoned me. And as I already turned them down three times, I thought this time I should go and preach. So that's why I'm here. And I'm glad to be here. And I want to turn your attention. I will be quite brief, folks, because some of you may know we've had quite a year as a family. At the end of January at the Whitfield College, I fell. Thank God, not from grace, but I fell. Broke my leg in three places. And just doing a wee bit of business for the presbytery. And after that, I swore I would never do any more business for the presbytery. And then, a wee while after that, Mary, after nursing me for nearly 3 months, when I couldn't get out of the chair without help, she went in for a very serious surgery herself. And it'll take a year before she's right, completely right, or so they tell her. It's only been 3 months since her surgery. And it was a very major operation. And then, subsequent to that, my oldest son, he collapsed in work. And shortly after that, our oldest daughter had what the hospital said was a stroke. And she's only 43 years old. But we're not sure, but that's what it appeared to be. It was all the symptoms, although the tests didn't reveal anything. It's been quite a year. And I'm so glad to be up and about. One of the greatest things I did was to get out and drive the car again. But I still can't stand for too long. Aren't you glad? Normally when I'm taking the whole service, I just sit for the hymns, because I like to be able to stand for the 1 hour and 30 minutes that I usually preach. But I can assure you tonight we'll not be doing that. The message won't be very long. I want to read some verses, breaking in just at verse 16 of Luke chapter 12, please. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Perhaps we could bow, please, for a moment in a word of prayer. Lord, we come to thee. We thank thee for the meeting thus far, for the singing of the hymns, for the ministry of our brother as he sung to us those lovely pieces. O God, bless all of that to our hearts. And now as we turn to the ministry of the gospel, Lord, we look to thee for help. This preacher is so aware of his own inability and limitation. Lord, I need thee. I need thy help. Come and help me. Bless this church and thy servant who ministers here. Undertake for him and for the people. And grant, Lord, in this place where the work all began so long ago, that revival blessing will come again. And precious souls, even during the mission, reached and saved and prepared for the great eternity. Answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're told that a parable is an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. Mark records the fact that without a parable, the Lord Jesus Christ did not teach them. So this was his method, his manner in imparting truth. And it's truth tonight, beloved, that we're after. Jesus said, I am the truth. And we want to be sure that you understand, if you're here this evening and you're not saved, my friend, we want you to understand what the gospel really is. Some people have an idea that the gospel is just living a certain way, doing certain things, obeying the law and the golden rule and all of that. I want you to know tonight there's much more to the gospel than this. And by using this parable that Jesus taught just for a few moments, I want to try and convey the truth of God to your heart. The first thing I would point out is this. In this parable, we see a man who has what I have termed a fleeting prosperity. We're told in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do where I have, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, men and women, listen. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. There's nothing wrong with a man or a woman who work hard, work honestly, build up a business and see it grow and strengthen. I have a friend, a good friend, and he has a business. And he has 4,000, yes, 4,000 employees. That's a big business. And he owns it. Nothing wrong with that. For years ago, before he had anything by way of this world's goods, he settled the all-important question, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? And what he did with Jesus was, he took him at his word, repented of his sin, turned from his sin, forsook his sin, and received the Savior into his life and into his heart. And if a man or a woman does that, then God prospers them. I say, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, the Lord Jesus says something here that seems very strange. Look at verse 15. He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Beloved, that goes against everything that this world believes tonight. The more you have, the better you are. That's the philosophy of our society. And people live just to get more. We're never content because man by nature is greedy. And the more you get, the more you'll desire to have. The ground of this man, we're told, brought forth plentifully. The idea behind the word for ground speaks of as if it was a country that he had, a whole country. And yet he wanted more. There's some fella in Australia, and he has a farm that's so big, it's only a few acres short of the whole of Ireland in size, and he needs an airplane to go around it and check on it. You never get enough. This man, just the idea in his mind of building and progressing is fine. But as you read the parable, you'll discover God was nowhere in his thoughts. He was never consulted. He was never considered. He was never brought into the reasoning the man had in his own mind. And he had prosperity. And he was prospering, but it was fleeting. There was a day coming, an hour coming sooner than he ever thought, when it would all be taken. You see, you don't really leave anything behind, do you? You're taken from it. And he was going to be taken from it very quickly. This word from the lips of Jesus is a warning about wealth. Yes, he was rich, but he was not rich before God. And herein is his problem. And herein is the problem of our modern society. No time for God. No thought of God. I remember going into Craigavon Hospital to visit. I think it was Craigavon. And I noticed this woman coming towards me, and she was carrying a huge camera. And she was making a beeline for me. Now I know I'm very photographic. It's great, you know, to have a face like this. But she came over and said, could you tell me the way to a certain ward? And I directed her, thinking that was it, and away you go. And she looked at me, she said, you know, I was wearing my priestly garb, by the way. She said, I don't believe in God. Just as blatant as that. Well, I just said back to her, well, you know, everybody has problems. But I said, I know a word that describes you. And you know, it's God that uses this word, so it's not coming from me. And she looked at me. And I said, you know what God says? God says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. I said, dear, according to my Bible, you're a fool. Well, that went down like a lead balloon. But it finished the conversation. Because that's what that woman was. A fool. Thinking by blocking God out of her thoughts, her mind, there'd never be any day of reckoning coming. Listen, everything we all have is just fleeting. It's temporary. What he had was earthly. What he had was expansive. But you know his trouble? It was eye trouble. See what he says? What shall I do? I have no room. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou was much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease. It was all I. And that's the way men think, you know. It's all what I'm going to do. God is never mentioned or considered. A young man, I may have told this story before, but I tell it again for it fits with the story tonight, the sermon. He was in his 30s, a businessman, somewhere in the Dungannon area in County Tyrone. And his business was very successful. And he came in one day to his work and he met with the workers and he said, "Listen, men, I'm going to retire. I have made enough money to take things easy for the rest of my life. I'm going to have a good time retiring young." And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But as he was talking to the workmen, his colour seemed to drain from his face. And his breathing became very laboured and he held over at his chest. And he said to one of the young men, "Listen, there's a bottle of whiskey in my bottom drawer in my desk. Get me a glass and give me a drink and I'll be okay when I get this. It must be indigestion." The young fellow did this, gave him the whiskey. He took it, he put it to his lips, and before he touched it, he keeled over. And the men that were there and seen it reckoned that before he hit the ground, he was gone. He's out into God's eternity. He didn't know. And the man in the parable didn't know. And in a very short time, he would be in God's presence to give account of himself. That's what we all must do someday. We must give account. And he gave account, thinking he had years ahead to live, to enjoy himself. And he only had moments. This man, everything he had, he was about to lose. And my word to you, friend, is, and the lesson I believe from this parable is, don't strive for the temporary until you have settled the eternal. And the gospel mission is a good time to make your peace with God. The book says, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace." Tell me tonight, could I ask you this in all honesty? Have you made your peace with God? If you were asked this very evening to give an account, could you do it? Could you look God straight in the face and say, "Lord, I did what you told me to do. I forsook my sin and I came to Christ and I was saved." Be able to tell the Lord, "Oh, could you do that?" You see, it is appointed unto men once to die. That word "appointed" is a word that means led by in store. Matthew Henry made the quaint comment, if you're going to only do something once, you need to do it right and do it well. It's appointed. It's not an appointment we can change or alter or add conditions to. Friend, it's settled. From all eternity, it's settled. But is the old account settled in your life? Do you have what you need to have? Or do you just have a fleeting prosperity? He had a false security. He wasn't worried about his pension, this man. He was building an empire. He was like Donald Trump in the States. He couldn't compute the money he was worth, like Bill Gates or some of these fellas. His security didn't exist. You see, you can't insure yourself against death, for all die. You read the biographies of all the men and women in Scripture. Some of them lived to great ages. Methuselah was nearly 1,969, it was. Others lived close to that. Others lived hundreds of years. But you know what it says after them all? It says, and he died. He died. And we'll all die. I don't say that from a morbid sense. But I say it from an urgent sense. Because friend, It's reality. We're talking here tonight about something that's real. It is appointed that you die. But after this, and here's the problem, there's the judgment. Oh, thank God in my life, on the 5th of November 1966, as a teenager lost and guilty and undone, on my knees in the little living room of the flat we lived in with my folks, I fell down there and I called upon the name of the Lord. I can't remember how I worded it, how I framed it, but I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And you know, God met with me that day. And I was saved. And I'm still saved. I'm saved for time, praise the Lord, and for all eternity. It was settled. And I have security. I have eternal security. No condemnation now I dread, since Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I can approach now the eternal throne, claim the crown through Christ my own. Do you know anything about it tonight? A young British soldier, we stopped his years ago on the Albert Bridge Road, and our young people asked him about salvation, and he took his SLR rifle and he held it up and he said, this is my salvation. What a false sense of security. What's your hope, folks, for eternity? It may not come as quickly as it came to this fool here in Luke 12, but it will come. I'm reminded from time to time of coming out of a fold in Ballinahinch. There were two elderly ladies standing outside the door, waiting for their daughter or their niece to take them into town to Belfast. I said hello. Usual comments you make, you know, maybe about the weather or whatever. And they said hello and we chatted for a second or two and I then went on. Those ladies got into that car. 10 minutes. They were in that car in the Ballinahinch Road towards Belfast when there was an accident. And both of them were launched into God's eternity. You know, that had an impact on me. Had I have known that it was going to happen so soon to those two old ladies, I don't know where they stood. But if I had known what I knew afterwards, I would have changed my conversation very quickly. But I didn't do that. And they're gone. What is your hope tonight? That's the question. False security. Some people, you know, are depending on the church. Nothing wrong with having that church connection. Many people do. Even though churches have, by and large, lost their influence in recent years. But the church, is that your dependence? No, the church can't save you. It wasn't the church that hung on the cross at Calvary. It was the man of sorrows. It was our Lord Jesus. He alone can grant eternal redemption. There's no hope for any soul apart from him. The book says, if any man be in Christ, that's it. He's a new creature, a new creation. It's in Christ, not in the church. People believe their baptism, confirmation, catechism knowledge, all of that saves them. No, it doesn't. Nothing can for sin atone, friend. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tell me, were you ever washed in that blood? What's your hope? I have a final thought. I've called it a fearful eternity. Verse 20, God said unto him, isn't it an amazing thing that God spoke to him? Now we live in a day when that direct communication verbally with God doesn't happen really. But you have a Bible, and there's a Bible here in the preacher's hand. And this Bible is God's word. This is the word that speaks to you today. This is the book that tells you your state, your need, your hope. God speaks through his word. The word of God is quick, alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thou fool, oh, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, one day God's going to require your soul. And if that soul is not redeemed, it'll be cast into outer darkness. Here's the testimony of a fool's final night on earth. All his wealth was no use. He would soon harvest his deeds, not his fields. Going, as someone said, from the fields that he prepared to the fire that God prepared. I wonder if you were told and knew for sure this was your last day on earth, what would you do? That's a great question. Did you ever think about that? What would you do if you knew for sure this was your last day on earth? Man, I tell you, you'd make preparation then. Like a fella in my church who wouldn't hardly look the side of the road I was on. Wouldn't spit at me if it was on fire. But he was rushed into hospital. 2 o'clock in the morning, he didn't send for the old modernist liberal preacher. Oh, he sent for me. And he needed to talk with me because he wanted to get saved. As it turned out, the whole thing was a sham and his profession was nothing, but he wanted to speak to someone who could tell him how he could prepare to meet God. And if you knew this was your last days and last hours and last moments on earth, no doubt you would do the same if you're not saved tonight. Friend, I would ask you, and I'm just about finished now, preaching. I'm tired. I'm getting very old. And this has been a hard day. I'm nearly as far on as Brother Gill here, but I'm still sticking it. So are you, Charlie. God bless you. Listen, I have stood at the graveside, and there's men in this church, and there's a minister in this pulpit has done the same thing, of people who died unexpectedly and without Christ. And you know, that's the saddest funeral for a gospel minister to preside over. And the person died, and you knew right well that they died out of Christ. Oh, friend, don't allow that to happen to you. I pray that you'll come to Christ. I went to a man one night. I was requested to go. He was dying. That man was guilty of a sin so heinous, I couldn't tell you what it was in a mixed congregation like this. It was as bad as it could get. It was horrendous. But I went to see him with his family round his bed, and they didn't want me there, mind you. Most of them. I went right down to his ear and whispered in his ear and said, look, sir, now you need to come to Christ. You need to turn from your sin. You need to repent. Will you take the Saviour? He opened his eyes, gathered up the remaining strength that he had, and with a very determined look, he said to me, no, no. Shortly after, he was in eternity. I have told some asides and some stories. I don't normally do that in preaching. But this is a gospel hour. This is a gospel opportunity. And I'm pleading, friend, tonight with everyone in this building not saved, that you come. Come to Christ. I'll be here for a while in the pulpit. Mr. Dean will be here too at the door. There's others here. Have a wee word. And just don't leave Crossgar Free Church without Christ. Oh, we would love to see you saved. Will you come? May God give you the grace and the willingness to yield your heart and life to our Lord Jesus. Amen.